A few months ago, I did a sermon based on a seminar by a Mennonite preacher by the name of Denny Peniston. And that sermon was a vision-setting sermon about how what God can do through parents who are seeking to raise up generations of godly offspring. This is part two. This should not stand alone. This is part two. And in this second part, we're going to look primarily at the processes of discipline that are used in the raising up of godly offspring. I hope to, over time, get to a part three and four, and I'm not sure how many more. Hopefully in the future, look more at the positive aspects of the training and admonition and all. But for this morning, there's so much material to cover on this one word discipline. Just the one word discipline found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, that I'm going to hone in on just that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, "And you fathers, do not enrage your children, but nurture them in discipline and admonition of the Lord." Now, there's a few things to mention here. First is the main verb here, ek trephete. This is a command to a plural group of people, to you fathers, and I think by extension mothers as well, but primarily the fathers. This is what we must do, nourish up your children. Bring them to maturity. Bring them up. Rear them. This is the command of the Lord for all parents. Kids, as you grow up, and if you get married and God blesses you with children, this is the command to you from the Lord. You can prepare for it too. You are to be raising up, nurturing children. And we see... There's all the places in the Bible that word occurs. That's not going to be the focus word for me this morning. I want to briefly touch on how not to do it. God tells us how not to do it and then how to do it in this one verse. Fathers, nurture them, but do not enrage, do not exasperate, do not provoke to anger or wrath. That is not the way we are to be nurturing children. The Greek word here, para or dizete, is a compound word of para, you've heard the word parallel, long side, and then or dizeo, that's a word for anger or uncontrolled emotion. So the picture here is coming to your child with uncontrolled emotion, uncontrolled anger, and dealing with them in that kind of attitude. And then what happens? How does the child respond to that kind of attitude if that's what the attitude of the parent is? They pick up that same attitude. Parallel to you, they're going to get angry as well. They're going to get frustrated. They're going to get exasperated, and your training is not going to work at all. If you're angry at your child, you're not going to be able to fulfill God's command here of nourishing them to maturity. Parents must first repent of their anger. Parents must first get right with God and ask God to give them a love for that child before you get involved in that process of discipline. And there are many ways that parents exasperate their children, and I'm not going to go into them all. There's, verbal abuse, physical abuse, violence and discipline, setting unrealistic expectations. many ways that we can blow it as parents. We need to be on our guard and beware of these kind of dangers. Parents, keep on the alert for signals. There's all the places that word exasperate is found. But parents, keep on the alert for signals. Watch the eyes of your children. How are they responding to you? Are they responding with defiance and anger? That may be a sign that, hey, I need to kind of check here what's going on in my heart. Catch signals from your spouse. What is your spouse doing when you're going after that kid to discipline them? Are they going like that? Notice the signals. They could be very helpful to you. And ask for advice. How am I doing? You can ask your children how you're doing. Ask your spouse. How am I doing with this? Are there ways you see I could improve? And ask your brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, I'm frustrated with this. What do you think I should do here? As the body of Christ, we're a community that should be available to help each other as we go through the puzzle of child-rearing. It's not easy. Children are forever. These children that we give birth to are eternal souls. We've got the rest of eternity to live with them and observe them. So they're going to be worth every bit of effort we put into training them. Neglecting them in the early years of their life is going to yield terrible, awful results that can last for eternity. They don't have to last for eternity, but they can. And although God is gracious and can overcome our failings as parents, this is a very, very serious, eternal matter, the raising of children. Okay, let's get into how to do it. And I'm only going to have time to look at the first word, nurture them. Father, do not exasperate your children, but nurture them in discipline. The Greek word in paideia. We have the word pediatrician and all kinds of other words mean for us. It's just what to do with children. You discipline them. Now this word paideia has two aspects. It has the aspect of teaching, and it has the aspect of chastisement, of physical discipline. Two aspects to this one word, and both are very important. I'm not going to hit as much on the teaching aspect. Hopefully I can do that in the next installment of this series, but I'm going to focus in on the correction part. But the word has to do with the whole process of training and education, both the teaching positively and the negative reinforcement. As you can see, this word is all over the Bible. And there's no way I can do a word study this morning to cover every one of these. But what I want to do is give a brief overview of it in the New Testament and then focus in on the book of Proverbs. Okay, in the New Testament, you get the same thing. You get teaching. It's used of the education of Moses in Egypt. It's used of the education of Paul in Jerusalem. And in 2 Timothy and in Titus, the pastoral letters, Paul gives his pastors that he's training. He uses this word. I put an asterisk by it. With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. And then the scriptures are the foundation that we use for this training and discipline. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. And then in Titus 2, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. This is part of the teaching aspect of what God has commanded, especially fathers, to do to raise the children. We are to teach them from the Bible, especially. But it's also used, this word, paideia, is also used in the New Testament for the whipping that Jesus endured before he went to the cross. In several parts of the New Testament, it comes through clearly that paideia, this instruction and discipline, is something that God does to us. As parents, we are reflecting the nature of God and the ways of God by teaching and disciplining our children. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, says God. Therefore, be zealous and repent. 1 Corinthians 11:32 mentions the discipline that God brings as a result of taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Mentions sickness and even death as punishments that God uses. Hebrews chapter 12 quotes from the book of Proverbs. You do not forget the exhortation addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you're without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Our fathers disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who've been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. These are some amazing claims. Can spanking give you righteousness? Can spanking prove to a son that he really is legitimate? Can spanking cause us to share in God's holiness? That's what the Bible says. I want to explain more of that as we go. About a third of the occurrences of the word paideia are found in the book of Proverbs alone. Remember, Proverbs is the book that teaches us how to train up children. So this is where more than any other book of the Bible, we find this word paideia. We are to be raising up our children in this paideia of the Lord. So what does the book of Proverbs teach us? This is what I'm going to camp on for the rest of our sermon time here. Again, as you see these the asterisks up here, they are the places where the word paideia appears in the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Old Testament. Paideia in the Proverbs also includes this concept of teaching with our words. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching, or paideia. This is something that we hear. Proverbs 25, it can be written down. Solomon wrote it down in Proverbs chapter 25. These are the paideia of Solomon. Boom, 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 boom. A list of proverbs, principles to live by. Proverbs 31, about the woman, the Proverbs 31 woman. This is the instruction of the king's mother. Here's the kind of woman to look for. This is part of paideia, the teaching instruction, and it is very valuable because this kind of teaching from your parents, that instruction from the Lord is valuable. Children, embrace it. Value it. Take hold of instruction. Don't let it go. Guard it, for she is your life, says Proverbs 4:13. Take it instead of silver, Proverbs 8:10. Take this kind of knowledge that is gained from the instruction of your parents as more valuable than gold. Latch on to it. It's valuable. Now, Paideia in Proverbs also includes discipline, the rod. Sometimes the spoken word is just not strong enough to instruct, says Proverbs 29:19. In Proverbs 26:3 it says, this is the way it is, a whip for the horse, bridle for the donkey, a rod for the back of fools. This is just the way it is. And you know, the back, I'm not talking about hitting people on the backbone, but the bottom is right there, part of the back. That's a good place to apply the rod. And notice, it does not say strike with the hand. It says use the rod. That was a lesson I learned. I'd never picked up on that before until after I had had my first child. We had our first two children. My first child. And circumstances were such that I was had to move back into my parents' house, and they saw us, giving our kids a swat with our hand, and my dad said, son, you need to look at what the Bible says here. It says use a rod. Don't use your hand. Our hands are to love our children with. Our children shouldn't be afraid when we reach our hand towards them, be afraid we're going to hit them. When we reach our hand out to our children, they need to know that's an expression of love. Again, just because this particular sermon is focused on discipline doesn't mean that we should be all about discipline. It's not the only tool in the toolbox for a parent. We need to balance discipline and affection. Give plenty of hugs. One without the other, discipline without love, love without discipline is living hell in your home. What else do the Proverbs have to say? Is this, I may have skipped backwards too fast. Okay, Proverbs 13:18. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline. But he who regards reproof will be honored. And then verse 24, he who withholds or holds back his rod hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Do you see what that's saying? Holding back on spanking is giving forth a spirit. It's not neutral. It's giving forth a spirit of hatred to your child, saying, I hate you. Spanking them in a right manner, an appropriate way, sends forth a spirit of love to your child. If you love your child, you'll chasten him diligently. You'll do it early on. Nip it in the bud. You'll do it you'll go after it. You're not going to let things slide. It may also mean that you have to do it over and over again so that you get the results. You hang in there until you get the results that God has called us to look for. Folks, the devil lies to us. He says that the rod is bad. He says that spanking is negative. He says it's cruel. But according to God's word, the rod is one of the most positive, beneficial things you can bring into your child's life. The world says that your children will hate you if you spank them. They say that spanking teaches your children to hit other people. Nothing could be further from the truth. The rod will bring order where there's chaos. It'll bring peace where there's turmoil. It'll bring freedom where there's sin bound up in your child's life. It'll bring zeal where there's apathy. I know the rod can be abused, and we've probably most of us have probably seen it used in a wrong way. You may have been spanked in anger by your parents. They may have even beaten you up. And that's not what I'm talking about. That kind of thing, that's not biblical chastisement. And I don't advocate spanking in anger or spanking to hurt or harm. If your attitude towards the rod is wrong because of those past experiences, I pray that God will open your heart to see that there is a better way. If your children are without proper chastisement, then they're missing some of the sweetest experiences in life, and so are you. A child that is not disciplined is missing the fullness of love that they can experience between a child and his father. Between mother and child, too. My wife and I have been looking at some special programs that can help an extended family member. And, boys' ranches, and have interviewed a number of programs. And we're intrigued with what comment of one of the director of a program called Runnymede. He's a Bible-believing Christian, and he takes groups of boys who are totally out of control and trains them for a period of months. And he said, I don't spank these boys. I figured, and you know, when he first said that, we figured, well, yeah, of course, you know, the state probably forbids them, you know, from it. He said, no, that's not why. It's not because the state forbids me to. He said, I found out that when I spank these children, they get so attached to me that they don't want to go back to their parents. So I don't want to do that. I want them to be able to go back to their parents. And so I'm not going to spank them and create the strong bond that comes from biblical chastisement, because I've got to send them back to their parents. That's the way God has built the little psyches of our children. Spanking brings fellowship. Now, that does raise a point. If he can do it without spanking, it's possible. If he can take the worst behavior cases and bring real training into their lives without spanking, it can be done. And there may be situations where spanking is just not a possibility. And I'm not saying that, you know, there's somehow something wrong with you if you're truly bound, not able to administer corporal discipline to your children. It can be done, but it is a primary tool that God gives parents for parenting. So how does it work? Why is it so effective? Proverbs 20, verse 30 says, "Stripes that wound scour away evil, and strokes reach the innermost parts." This is an interesting passage. What is it about those licks that clean conscience? Spanking is God's method for clearing the conscience of your children. You remember, those of you who are adults who have fallen into some kind of sin and have been deeply ashamed over that and have come to the Lord just crying out to Him for forgiveness. And God has brought pain and trouble into your life as a result of your disobedience. And you're broken before the Lord, and you're on your knees before Him and want to do anything to make it right. Many of us have had that kind of experience before when the Lord chastises us. And spanking gives that kind of an opportunity to our child to bring them to a point of brokenness over their sin and reassure them that God has provided a way to deal with our sin. The spanking not only can clear the conscience, but it gives a clear countenance too. Many times, we're just walking through the store, we're walking through Walmart, and people will stop us and comment on the faces of our children. They say their eyes, they just look different from the eyes of other children we see. That's not an accident. The properly disciplined children have a different look about their faces because they've dealt with sin. They know that they're right with their parents and right with God. There really is a visible difference. Now, we've also had people come up to us and say, "Oh, well, you're so lucky to have such well-behaved children. My children are really hard." If you only knew how hard it was with my kids, you'd understand this is not so easy. You're really lucky. And I just smile. They have no idea what we've been through. They've been plenty of times when we've had to devote, an entire hour to just working and working and working on one kid who's just defiant as all hell. And we got little girls that need the same. But so don't be fooled into thinking that you've got a special case. There may be some special cases out there, but chances are your kid is no different than anybody else. Yeah, some of them have stronger wills and need more work than others. But you're probably not dealing with a special case if you've got a defiant kid. One more thing, it's not the spanking that clears the conscience. It's not the spanking that forgives the child. And don't confuse discipline with punishment. Don't confuse discipline with punishment. Biblical chastisement is not punishment. God did not say the wages of sin is 4 licks, right? What did God say the wages of sin is? Death. So no amount of spanking is going to forgive that child. There's no amount of punishment that child can sit through to atone for their sin. And we need to make that clear to them. Discipline is for training. It's not to forgive their sin. And that's something that we as parents need to recognize that also can help deal with the anger. A child does something wrong, and it's easy for a parent to become angry, offended at the wrong, and then we want to take it out on them, punish them for what they did that was offensive. And coming in, foaming at the mouth, "You're going to get it!" That is the wrong way to go about it. We've got to take the time to cool down, and if that means sending the kid to their room, and you go to your own room and cool down, do what it takes. Spankings are not punishment. They're correction for future conduct. They're a teaching tool to reinforce that certain things are wrong and must not be done in the future. And I'm going to get to more of that later. So let me, I want to describe my ideal spanking. First off, there has to be a clear offense. All right? That means you need to have clear rules. The kid's got to know what's right and what's wrong. If you're sitting at the table and they're singing and you say, "Oh, I love hearing you sing," and then you turn around, "Hey, quit singing at the table." Well, you've got problems because you've told them it's right one day and you've told them it's wrong another day. That's not clear. They need to have clear understanding of what's right and what's wrong. And I could take quite a while working on that. But you've taught them a rule and they've clearly violated it. They need to have clearly violated it. Not just somehow gotten on your bad side. They need to clearly have violated a rule. Say maybe one of my kids comes up to me and says, "Can I play outside?" I say, "Have you done all your chores?" "Yes, I've done all my chores." "Okay." I go play outside and I come out of the office and find out, wait a minute, He didn't unload the dishwasher. So I go back outside, the kids playing, jumping on the trampoline. Come in. You didn't unload the dishwasher. You said that you'd done all your chores. Here's a chore you have not done. You lied to me. Clear offense. Then we get alone with the offender. I'm not going to go out there with all the kids in the neighborhood jumping on the trampoline with my kid and start wailing on them in front of everybody else. We need to contain things. Get everybody in a quiet place so that we can think about what's going on. This isn't to shame them in front of other people. We need to get away from the distractions of the play and whatever's going on. We need to make this a special time. So we go back to my office. And then we identify the offense. I'll ask questions. You know, maybe I was wrong. Maybe the dishwasher was really somebody else's job. So I want to make sure that I'm not spanking them. Make sure that they really did tell a lie. I want to make sure that they understand that they told a lie. And that they're not fuzzy about, I'm not sure why I'm getting a spanking, but Dad's mad, and I don't know. They need to clearly know what the offense is. And the authority for that should not come from me, it should come from the Bible. We've got a Ten Commandments sitting on the wall next in one of the rooms that we often administrate spankings in, and we'll identify which of the Ten Commandments they just violated. This is God's law, and you just broke it. There's the authority. Then I may express, just take some time to express grief with them. I'm grieved that you would have violated God's law like this. And I'm sad. I'll maybe be silent for a little while. Maybe even cry with them. Help the child see that it's a serious thing to break God's law. And then it's time to apply the rod carefully. We may need to remind him, God has told me this is what I've got to do. I don't enjoy spanking you. Now the goal is to bring pain that will correct, pain that will train them. So on the one hand, not enough pain is not going to work. You know, a tap on a fake diaper isn't gonna do the trick. You know, I've heard of people taking baseball bats and whacking on the bare buttocks, and that's way over the top. That's not just bringing pain that corrects. That's abusive. So we need to apply wisdom and understanding of, you know, what is going to be the right amount of pain that's not going to hurt the child. You know, with my teenage boys, I'm going to put my whole arm into it, but it's just going to be a flick of the wrist with my little girl. How many licks should it be? I don't have any. I can't tell you. That takes wisdom. Denny Kenniston, that I got a lot of my inspiration from, is a strong proponent of spanking them until they're broken, as he says, till they come to the point where they're weeping over the fact that they have sinned, and they're no longer standing there in defiance and rebellion. Sometimes that's what it takes. In my experience, I don't think that works with everybody. I tried that with my first son and started finding out that it was violating his sense of order and justice when he was getting different amounts of spankings for the same offense. I decided with him, I'm just going to give him three licks, or if it's a very minor offense, it will only be one or two, and that seems to make a difference in his training. So you're going to have to ask God for wisdom and understanding of how much do I need to give with this child. Ask God for wisdom and He'll give it to you. God promises He'll give you that wisdom. Then there's affection. I hug them. You know, we cry together. just hold them tight. Let them know I love them. And then we pray. And this is the grounds of their forgiveness. It's not the spanking. The spanking was to train them. We're not going to do this again. But the prayer is where we actually deal with the guilt of their sin. And I'll encourage the little children to repeat after me. Dear Lord, please forgive me for lying to Papa. Please help me to tell the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And have them repeat each phrase. And I may continue, and I'll have ask the bigger kids to pray themselves. I want to hear what their heart is saying to God. And I'll pray with them too, praying for God to help them to do what is right. This teaches the child that it is God who forgives them and who cleanses their conscience in the name of Jesus. And that is the grounds of their forgiveness and their right standing with God. And then finally, we'll conclude with a little wrap-up instruction. I'll ask them if they believe God forgave them. You believe God's forgiven you? Yes. Because we've asked Him to in Jesus' name. He will. I'll forgive them. I'll say, I forgive you too. If the sense is against me or if it's against somebody else, we'll say, you need to ask forgiveness of so-and-so now. And then tell them, now we've dealt with it. Everything's okay. Everything's been made right. You've done everything it takes for everything to be made right. It's okay now. And we'll hug again. And I tell you, when we do it that way, that little kid's my buddy for the rest of the day. They walk around with admiration in their eyes toward me. They know I love them if I'll take the time to do that. I want to look at a few more Proverbs. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, Proverbs 22:15. But the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Foolishness is natural for children. They're going to sin. It's bound up in their heart. And God has ordained that through their failures and through discipline, they will learn godly character. So don't get upset if your children sin. Expect that they'll sin. It's pride, it's wicked pride that wants your kid to look good in front of other people, and they get angry when they act out in front of your friends and embarrass you. That's pride, and that's wrong. It's wicked pride that lashes out in anger at our children for making us look bad in front of other people. Don't give in to that. We're after the hearts of our children. We want our children to be right before God. We know that those little hearts are bound up with foolishness, and we're going to work on them with the rod of correction and discipline so that we can present these children to God for His service, knowing that their hearts are right before God. They're tied up with folly like ropes, like a rope was tied all around them. They're not able to choose wisely. They're bound up. They've got to be freed, and the Bible says that the way to free them from that is the rod. It's the most loving thing you can do to apply the rod to them. You can yell at folly, and it's not going to go away. You can stand it in the corner. It's not going to abate. You can talk nice to it. You can give it candy. That's not going to work, generally. God says, the Bible tells us this is the way to deal with foolishness. And that it won't just give you a little reprieve either. It will remove it far from your children. Spanking, of course, isn't the only tool in your toolbox. There should be positive reinforcement. Treats, hugs, conversations with your children, timeouts to do special things, all these kind of things. Let them letting him show off accomplishments, all these things fill a child's world with delight. And for everything that there's negative, all of the negative reinforcement, there should be positive reinforcement for good and for joy, that our home is a place of joy and love. Our home needs to be filled with those kind of things too. And there are times when other things, like even a timeout, can be helpful. I find with my little ones, you know, they reach the end of their rope and they start crying. And for them, they don't have the willpower to snap out of it. And it often helps to just set them in their crib, close the door, let them cry it out, let them take a nap. And they reset, they're refreshed, come back out, and they're ready to try again. So the spanking is not the only thing to do. We need God's wisdom to recognize when it's appropriate to do what. But when you see a guilty conscience in your child, do them a favor. Drive it out with the rod. It's not right for you to leave it there. It's a terribly unloving thing to let a child go around with a guilty conscience, frustrated and discontent. Set them at rest. Let them have a good day and be happy again. Proverbs 23, verses 12 through 14. Apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. Now, children are pretty smart. They know they can manipulate us. And they can start hollering and jumping up and down and acting like you're telling them. And don't give in to that. Don't let your, I think mothers are especially tempted to, my poor baby. Don't give in to that earthly love that tempts you to spare the rod, tempts you to hold back and not give them what they need. They're not going to die from that. You're going to save their soul from hell. How can that be? We know that God saves those who are repentant. A child who hasn't been taught repentance, hasn't been taught that what they're doing is wrong, who doesn't know how to get forgiveness of their sins, they're gonna live a life of rebellion. But a child who's been disciplined and trained into how to submit to God's standards of righteousness and trained to go before the feet of Jesus and ask for forgiveness and turn away from their wickedness, the child that's been trained to do that is naturally going to follow in God's ways, assuming that at the same time God's going to do his spiritual work in the heart of that child to give him the spiritual power to do that, to walk in faith. Training can begin. Oh, here's a quote. Good quote from Susanna Wesley, the mother of the great hymn writer Charles Wesley and the mother of John Wesley, who started the Wesleyan Church. She said, "I set out at an early age to conquer the will of each child. Then I continue to bring it under subjection until it's totally yielded to Christ." And that training can begin fairly early. With the no-no training. I remember Josh was starting to crawl, I don't know what, 6, 9 months old, and discovers the electrical outlets on the wall. Oh, that looks interesting. I want to play with it. We'll poke things into that. I don't want my son hurt, so I'm going to train him not to do that. And we would give him a flick with the rod when he would reach his hand up to stick something into the electrical outlet. No, Josh. And after a while, we'd see him. He'd crawl across the floor. He's looking at the outlet, and he would reach up and shake his head and go somewhere else. You can start very young before they're 1 year old. You can also do the come to me training. That's a positive form. That's one that you can actually make time for. When you've got time, you're sitting in the living room and you know you've got some time for this, just say, hey, Jimmy, come here. Come to Papa. Come to Daddy. And start a proactive training session. Teach them to come when you call. If they don't come, the first time you say, now, I've told you to come. And God says children must obey their parents. And so when I call, you need to come. Okay? Okay, so then they're playing again. Maybe they've got their favorite toy. And then you call them again. And if they don't come, then you've got grounds to spank them. They've disobeyed you clearly. And they know it because you've warned them. That can start at a very young age because they understand, they know when they're not obeying you. And that kind of proactive training is a great tool in your toolbox as a parent. Do them a favor. Spare them from pain and misery in this life. And train them with discipline. Okay, kids, this is fair warning now. If your mommy or daddy says, hey, come here. You know what they're doing, okay? Because you heard the sermon. Better come running. Or there's going to be a training lesson that could involve some pain. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. When the wicked increase, transgression increases, but the righteous will see them fall. Correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. When there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. The context here, I didn't put it all up on the screen. There you can see the asterisk where the word correct is. The context of this training, you can see that it has broad consequences throughout society. We're not talking about the results of just what happens in the home, but our training has an impact on how our whole culture operates, how our children operate when they stand out in the world as men and women on their own. Do you want an increase in wickedness? Do you want shame? Do you want to watch your children fall on their faces when they're adults? Then don't discipline them. But if you want a delight of seeing your adult children out in the world, if you want to see vision, if you want to see society gathered around men and women of vision and that self-discipline, to know the way to go, then correct your children. And we'll see a corresponding change in our whole culture around us in the years to come. Let's see, what else? If you're a child here, I hope you don't hate me yet for encouraging your parents to spank you. I want you to know that I'm your friend. And your parents' discipline will bring life to you. It will bring honor to you. It will bring wisdom to you. It will bring blessing to you. So take it in. Let yourself be transformed by your parents' discipline. The Bible tells us, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But he who hates reproof is stupid. You don't want to be stupid. A wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer doesn't listen. He who neglects discipline hates himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. I want to wrap up with two more passages quickly on discipline from the Proverbs. First is, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof, for whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Discipline is God's model for training. When we use the rod of correction in an appropriate manner, We're showing our children what God is like and how God works in our lives, parents. And also note that it's the fathers who God specifically commands to do this training. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, raise up your children. Not exasperating them, but in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. Specifically addressed to fathers. Don't leave it to moms, fathers. Mom can give spankings too, but the Bible puts the responsibility squarely on our shoulders, men. And lastly, Proverbs 19. Discipline your son while there's hope, and do not desire his death. A man of great anger will bear the penalty. For if you rescue him, you'll only have to do it again. Listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise for the rest of your days. Here is an exhortation to both parents and to children. Parents, once again, don't allow that anger into your life. And parents, the phrase, while there is hope, means there's going to be a time when it's beyond hope. When your children are you can't spank them anymore. They're out of your hands. They're in God's hands. And God knows how to discipline them, and it's not easy. The stakes are high. While there's time, don't hold back, parents. Go after your children diligently in training them. Trust God's word that the rod is what He wants you to use. And children, listen to the counsel. Accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. I hope this has been an inspiration to you. There's so much more ground to cover, and we'll have to take more time in the future to cover more aspects of the training of children. But this is a very important one, the use of discipline.